Welcome to Worst Ever. This episode of Worst Ever is brought to you by Chatbooks. You can go get your first series book free with promo code WORST. Just go to chatbooks.com/podcast and download the app. Alaa, have you done the Chatbooks?
I did the Chatbooks.
You did? Did you love it?
Yeah, I did it. I did it like in 5 minutes.
It's just so quick.
I did it from my phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who did you make a book of? Yourself? Just so you remind yourself how much you love yourself?
Well, no. Here's the funny stories. I was going to do one of myself.
Of course. Because
you know me well. Mm-hmm. I do love myself. But I said, you know what? I got all these great pictures of my nephew, Assad. And I was like, well, he's an Instagram star. He's got like 1.3 million followers.
Where do we find him? Like, Assad Khalid?
It's Instagram. His Instagram is at Assad, I think. Assad Khalid.
Right.
I have no idea. I don't know how to use the Instagram, but I know how to use Chatbooks.
Well, there we go. So it's easy even for old people.
Stop.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, I made a book. So it's me and Assad. All the pictures of us together.
Oh, cute.
I know. It's going to be amazing. And, you know, a new feature that they have on Chatbooks is now that you can text a page. So you can go in after you pick all your book out and then go in and edit and then do a text page next to the picture. It's cool.
Oh, cute. So you can do like all your pictures from, you know, as he's growing up. This is the time we were in blah, blah, blah. Here's when we went to
Correct.
Toys R Us. Cute.
Correct.
I love that. The other thing I think is great is, so first off, it's only 60, it's 60 pages for only $8. I mean, that's a really long book for $8.
And you can get, and you can get it in two different sizes. They have a 6x6 or 8x8.
What did you choose?
I did both. I'm not
going to
lie.
Oh, okay. Someone's fancy.
And I did
Treat
soft
yourself.
And hardcover.
Treat yourself.
I did soft and hardcover because I want a coffee table book. And then I want like a little travel thing in case I was like, oh, well, look, here's my nephew.
Right.
It's
have
my
you
new
heard
wallet.
Of him? All right, we got to tell the people how it works. So here's the deal. You can have multiple photo sources in one book, and you can have multiple people adding photos to your book. So if you have like a share, you know what I mean? Like one of those share clouds, that's what I have with my parents.
Love that.
So if they have the app and I have the app, multiple people can just be putting favorites into your book. And then at the end of the day, like you just sign up and they send you, every time you fill up a book with 60 pages, they just automatically are like, yep, done, sent. I mean, and it's at your doorstep. Free shipping in the U.S., by the way, in days. And it's kind of awesome.
Christine, it's also a money-back guarantee.
Yeah, love it or get your money back, people. And you better
Correct.
Know everybody's loving the Assad, so you're not getting your money back from that. I think it's money well spent.
No, I can't wait to show that book. I might have Assad, like, take some finger paint and sign it.
Oh, it's going to be worth a lot.
Or some baby food.
No, seriously. That might actually pay your rent next month, so you should think about it.
Yep.
Okay.
It's so easy to use. And you can, did you know that you can use photos from your Instagram or Facebook?
Or your camera roll.
Yeah, well, of course, the camera roll.
No, you just favorite them, and then it just goes, all your favorites just go to the Chatbooks. So that,
exactly.
that way
and
you can
edit.
Yeah, you can take the pictures of all the family, but then the ones you favorite that are really, really cute are the ones that, like, because we don't need all the pictures, let's be honest. Some of them, you got double chins. You might not want to favorite those. You know, you don't need those for posterity. You know what I'm saying?
Hear you.
Well, next one, I would just really appreciate it since you are supposedly the godfather of my child. I'd really appreciate you making Georgia one. Okay? You can get on that?
I'll think about it.
It's chatbooks.com/podcast. Download the app and you'll get your first series book free with promo code WORST. On this week's episode, we have an actor and a friend and an Instagram star in his own right named Tom Lenk.
Yeah, Lenk's looks for less.
If you haven't seen Mr. Tommy Lenk, go to his Insta at Tommy Lenk, and you need to get on this. He's basically recreating celebrity fashion with crap that he finds in his house. So he's basically crafting celebrity fashion, and it's pretty genius. I think he could actually use the Chatbooks because then he could just put all of his looks for less in several books. I mean, it'd be genius.
I agree. Here's the thing about Tom. I have a lot to say about Tom in this episode. You know that.
I know.
He's a tardy person. He is just tardy.
He's tardy to the party all the time.
He is tardy for the party.
He forgot we were doing this and didn't show up. We'll just go ahead and say it. It's fine. We love him anyway.
It's fine. Listen.
Chatbooks is definitely more prompt than Tom, but it's okay.
And you guys, fans out there, you know I'm always annoyed on the podcast. Well, I'm sort of super annoyed here because he's very tardy.
Anyway, enjoy this episode with Mr. Tom Lang.
The worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best or funny.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. I am Christine Lakin.
I'm Alaa Khalid.
And today on the podcast, we have a mutual friend of ours.
Yes.
By the name of Tom Lank.
Tom Lickety Lank.
Who is a cool 57 minutes late.
He's an asshole.
No, he just...
I mean, I love him to death, but this is typical Tom.
Look, we had a holiday this week, and he,
so his days
in his defense,
off.
He thought it was Wednesday.
But it's not.
At least he didn't still think it was 2015.
Well,
I mean,
we don't know that for sure,
that's
Christine.
A real problem.
We don't know. But he's going to be... Because he's so late and far away...
And very far.
Mm-hmm, he'll be calling in.
Yeah, we're not going to have him actually in studio, but...
Which is better, because I probably would have killed him, and then we would have talked about it on My Favorite Murder.
You would know Tom Lank, most specifically, if you're a child of the 90s.
Or if you were waiting for him to show up.
From Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Correct.
That is definitely one of his most pivotal roles. But if you are a social media person, you would know him from his Instagram, from Lank's Looks for Less.
Which is... genius.
I love so much. Tom has always been a crafty person. By that, I mean he's actually into crafts. He's really good at, he's made me a pillow before where he actually drew Cody Bear, my dog, and then made a fabric and then fashioned out with a sewing machine a pillow.
Well, also, he invited you to a Christmas party,
yes.
Which I crashed
because
I was not invited,
God.
Even though I've known him for years. But he tends to do that to me all the time. And he, the whole party was craft stations.
Yeah, and it was B. Mary, but the B was B. Arthur. And it was his rendering of B. Arthur.
Correct.
In the B. Mary.
Right, so we got to decorate a bunch of B. Arthurs.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to talk to him a little bit, in a little bit about his crafting, about his work with E! Right now, doing his red carpets. Looks for Less, and get more into, you know...
Why
he's late and why he thinks it's Wednesday. But maybe he's having... You know what? He's having the worst Wednesday ever.
Yeah, but...
Because it's not Wednesday.
Right. I never told you my David Bowie story.
Oh, God, no. What did you do to David Bowie? May he rest in peace.
Oh, this is the best. So I'm newly with my agency here in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, just off topic, because I like to change topics according to some of our Instagrammers.
Oh, God.
I immediately thought about that woman in Italian, in Italy, that was accused of the murder. Remember when she was living in Italy? She was studying abroad. Do you remember that, Stephen?
Yeah.
Oh, Amanda Knox.
Amanda Knox. The whole Amanda Knox story.
Why would you think
because
about
that? Because it was the whole, like, all the girls from different countries and they're living in one house.
No,
and
she wasn't living in a house with a bunch of other girls. She was living with one roommate.
Well, who are
you
these
love
other
to bring
girls?
Everything back to murder, and it has nothing to do with any. It wasn't even Italy. It was France.
I know
there
that.
Were models.
No, I know that. But I immediately, it just made me think of that. Jesus.
Well, that's great. Go on with your David Bowie.
Okay. So, anyways, I guess he was doing. It was next to the agency. There used to be this warehouse, and they had a party for David Bowie. It was for, I don't know if it was like a movie premiere or if it was, it had something to do with David Bowie. Whatever. It was this crazy party. My agent was like, he was new to the agency, so he was like bringing a couple of his clients with him. He's like, do you guys want to go? I got invited, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, sure. So I go to the party and we're drinking and there's like women like roller skating all around, like serving cocktails. Yeah, it was fucking crazy.
Where was the party?
It was on Vine and like, do you know where the Savage Agency is?
Yeah.
On Banner. There used to be a warehouse there. It's now a social security office.
Okay. Oh, I know that.
Yeah.
I know where that's.
It used to be a warehouse.
Okay.
So we're upstairs. It's like fucking crazy. There's like celebrities like from Boogie Nights and like it was just like random. The whole thing, it was like crazy. And I'm drinking or whatever. And we're in this little gaggle of like, you know, clients and stuff. We're chit chatting and drinking and watching the roller skaters go by. And I say, you know what? I wouldn't even know what David Bowie looked like if I even saw him.
Oh, no.
And I get a tap on the shoulder, and it's Iman.
Oh, no.
And she's like, sweetheart, he's right here. And
no.
I died, and my agent was so embarrassed.
Oh, no.
But that's like typical me. That is typical. I do that all the time.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
I am the worst. I know.
That's awful.
I know.
Oh, God. You're an idiot.
But I didn't spill tequila on him.
Okay. Well, maybe it had gone better had you spilled a little tequila on him.
I never told you that, David.
No.
I have so many of those.
Who
of those
else
stories.
Did you do that to?
Well, I told Halle Berry once she had a big butt.
What?
Swear to God, it's a true story.
What? Why?
So, okay, remember when we were talking with Jody about six steps of selling and da-da-da?
Yes,
right,
yes.
When I worked for Merry-Go-Round Enterprises.
Oh, no.
Well, okay. When I first moved to L.A., I transferred to a store that was with the same company called Signal.
Right.
And it was a higher-end version of Merry-Go-Round.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the Beverly Center.
Yes.
So I worked in the evenings, you know. Just trying to like get my foot. I'm like here for like 3 months. So I'm
right.
still doing retail. And this beautiful woman comes in and she's not like, she's a celebrity, but
right.
she's not Halle Berry, the star, right?
Okay.
Like she's not like huge, huge. She's not, you know.
Right. Okay.
But she's still a celebrity. I know who she is.
Mm-hmm. Like she had an Catwoman at this point.
No, this is like...
This is pre-Catwoman.
This is like 1994.
This is pre-Monsters Ball.
Yeah, this is 94.
Okay.
So she comes in and she's trying on 3/4 leather jackets.
Great.
And it kept rising, like it wouldn't like stay down. Because it's like 3/4, it like stops right at the, you know...
Past the hip. Upper thigh.
And it keeps sliding down and she's like, I love this jacket so much. She goes, it just keeps, and I go, well, I'm just going to tell you straight up. I go, your ass is too big for that jacket.
Oh, my God.
And she goes, what? And I go, it's not going to work. You got to try it. Let me show you another jacket because it's not going to work. She's like, what'd you say? I go, your butt's too big. It's too big for the jacket.
Oh, God.
She looked at me. She goes, you're the first person that's ever said that to me. And I go, well, I just don't want to try to get you in a jacket that's not going to fit you. I go, it's just not going to work. And I want to make a sale, right? So I want to get her into something like, I'm working on commission. I should have tried to sell her that jacket, but I could go for a higher end jacket that's like maybe more of a bolero or something. So I, you know, she bought a jacket for me easily.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. You just insult people until they're like, oh, maybe he's right.
I was just telling the truth. Yeah. Yeah, I told her she had a big ass.
Oh my God. That's terrible. Well, I'm trying to think of any bad celebrity stories I have. I was at a party once. I actually feel like it might have been Nicole Tom's birthday party.
That's always back to Nicole Tom.
Always back to Nicole Tom. Her birthday party or something. And I went up to the bar to order a drink. And I was waiting. There was like a cute guy at the bar. And I think I was waiting like for a drink. And I said something like lame, like, how's your night tonight? Or what? I said something stupid and he literally turns, this guy turns and looks at me and burps in my face. It was Jerry O'Connell. I was like, cool. Okay, great. And moving on. Great.
Thank you so many weird celebrity stories. So many run-ins.
So many run-ins.
You know who we should have on here? Pantera Sarah.
Oh gosh. Pantera Sarah. So back in the 2000s,
90s.
Really, 90s
That's,
and
I knew her,
90s and 2000s.
Listen to me. You know how I met Pantera
Sarah? She's a promoter.
She's
club,
a huge.
Huge club promoter.
Huge club promoter. You know how I met her?
How?
So I'm having coffee with Carrie Russell at the Starbucks on Melrose.
Yeah.
Carrie and we all sort of moved out here together.
Right.
I know Carrie.
She's from Florida, too.
Yeah, she was a Mouseketeer, so I knew her from Orlando.
Right.
And so we were friends for years. So we're sitting at having coffee, you know, just hanging out. And this woman with like this raspy, smoky voice was like, hey, can I talk to you guys for a second? I have this club on Monday nights. You guys should come. you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. And she gives me her card and tells me Pantera Sarah, and it's Monday nights. And then, so I do a little research. This like club is like the end all to be, I mean, it's like the top celebrities. And I'm like, right. This is the weirdest thing. So literally Carrie's like, well, I'm not going to go. And I go, well, I'm going to go. So I went
by yourself.
I went by myself. I don't care. And she literally saw me. She's like, hey, doll. You know, she's that's the, she's like, you know, Johnny, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, come on. And so she like literally opens the velvet rope and just lets me into the VIP section. And it's like everyone you can
bad
imagine,
idea.
But young.
Letting you in.
But I've known her ever since, and we've been good friends.
I know. Well, I remember, yeah, we saw her at that random birthday party we went to. You and me.
Oh, that's right.
Or a Christmas party, something. I don't know. It wasn't her. It was her 40th.
It was her 40th party.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Her 40th birthday.
Weird. All right. Should we get Tom Lank on the line?
Yeah, let's have him call in.
I was going to say, and I think there's more, but I can't remember off the top of my head, but I have a thing where I will lock eyes with celebrities while I'm eating.
Oh,
and it's the
oh,
most
no.
awkward thing.
Steven.
On accident. I was at the Salt and Straw in Larchmont. Made the mistake on a summer day of getting a double scoop ice cream on a cone.
Uh-huh.
So it immediately just starts dripping all over me.
Right.
And I'm like trying to salvage this. The mic kind of looks like an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
I'm trying to salvage it. And I'm like the middle of like the most awkward, gross, like, and I like, then all of a sudden I see and it's Rachel McAdams and I'm like, and I'm like, just
she's
like
just
totally
looking at you.
Just like as I'm like, yeah, destroying this ice cream. And I'm just like, this is awful. And I ran away pretty quickly. And then I worked do you know the Cine Family Movie Theater? On Fairfax. Yeah. They do a lot of like cool revival stuff. And a year or two ago, they did comedian Kumail Nanjiani did like a thing where he showed a bunch of X-Files episodes because the new season was coming out and he was in the newest season. And so I was recording the interviews with Chris Carter and some of the writers.
Yeah.
And the only, so the time when I had a break was when they were showing the episode. So I run down, I want to grab something to eat because I've been in the booth for hours. There are hamburgers, but no more hamburger buns. So I just get two hot dog buns and like make it into hamburger buns. And again, in the middle of like just the worst, awful bite, I see Chris Carter walk by with his dog and he's just like, and I just totally like embarrassingly like lock eyes. And it's just like, I'm like, but I'm frozen because I'm like, oh, this is somebody, you know, like with Rachel McAdams or with Chris Carter. I'm like, oh, this is somebody of note. And it's so, but it's just
beyond awkward. I'm like the worst. I feel like I have that. My husband recognizes everyone.
So I'm the worst.
He has like a photographic memory for people's faces. Doesn't matter if they're celebrity or not. He will see somebody and be like, oh, that person was in an elevator with us 2 weeks ago. Like he missed his calling. I feel like he should have been in the FBI or something because he literally recognizes everyone. Me, I don't recognize anyone. I'm awful.
Until afterwards, yeah.
Oh, God, not even. We'll pass someone. He's like, oh, my God, you see that? Who that was? And I'm like, where? And I'm literally that idiot who's just looking all around, like almost pointing, going, where?
Yeah, where's
and he's like, stop it. That was just Chris Martin from Coldplay. And I'm like, what? Where? You know?
I did the, when I was in Santa Monica once, when you awkwardly break up a couple holding hands to like squeeze through. But I did that to Anna Paquin and Stephen Moyer from Twilight. Or True Blood. True Blood. Just that thing where I was like, you know, because Santa Monica by the Third Street Promenade, it's like a mess down there. And I just awkwardly broke up the holding hands. And then afterwards, my friend was like, do you know who that was? And I was like, no. And it's like, shit.
Oh, God. It's, yeah, it's so weird. Because like in, I think like in LA too, you can run into a celebrity anywhere. Right? So it's, you know.
It's so funny because I mean, listen, obviously we live in LA. We run into celebrities everywhere, just like you said. But like, the ones that I end up recognizing are the reality stars.
Oh, yeah.
And then I flip out. Like, then I go kind of crazy. Like, I fan out. Like, I've met Elizabeth Taylor, like, and, like, had words with her.
Right.
And I was like, oh, so nice to meet you. Thank you so much. If I see NeNe Leakes, I'm going to flip out.
Yeah. I'm like that with any, if the winners of Survivor, because I'm such a Survivor freak. I've seen the winner of Survivor, like probably, I don't know, this was several years ago, but it was 3 or 4 weeks after the finale had just happened. And I literally looked at this person like they were my friend, like I knew them from high school. I literally thought, I was like, hi, how are you? And they're looking at me like, I don't know you. And then I realized, oh my God, I'm an idiot. It's because you're the winner of Survivor. And I just treated you like we know each other. That's so embarrassing.
I have an even more embarrassing story in that sort of genre is that I was at my agency.
Mm-hmm.
I went in just to stop by and say hi. And there was this woman that was sitting in there with her kid. And I'm like looking at her and I go, it's a small agency, boutique agency. So, and they love me when I annoy the shit out of them when I come in.
No,
cause I'm like, what are you doing?
It's so hard to believe.
Like, what are you saying? You know,
shocking.
I do a whole thing there, mm-hmm. right? So I just literally walk in through the locked door. I like open over on the other end and like
breaking and entering,
sort of. And I'm like, hey guys, blah, blah, blah. And I see this girl and I'm like, do I know you? And she's like, no, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
And I go, yeah, we know each other. I go, are you from Orlando? And she's like, no. And I go, are you sure? Did you go to Dr. Phillips High School? She's like, no. Did you live in New York? She goes, like, for a little bit. But I go, did you go to AMDA? And she's like, no. And I go, did you work in the mall? Or I'm like literally going. And I'm taking my fingers and I'm pointing at her, like both my eyes, like eye to eye, like, kind of thing.
We know each
and
other.
Like, we know each other. I know you. I've met you. She's like, you haven't met me. And I go, I'm telling you, I'm going to figure out how I know you.
Like,
and
mad
I,
now.
Right. Like, I'm getting pissed. I'm like, I'm telling you, I know you. I go, it's Allah. She's like, I don't know you. I leave the agency. My agent calls me, and she's like, you don't know her. And I go, I'm telling you, Jennifer, this is my agent. I go, Jennifer, I know her. She's like, no, that's Tammy from Real World.
Oh, my God.
Los Angeles.
Give me a break.
She's the one that was like, got in the fight and was like, it was not, wasn't not funny, you know?
Yes, yes.
And she ended up being on Basketball Wives.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. The whole thing. Ironically, I got hired to do a pilot presentation, and it's with her.
Shut up.
Swear.
So then you did know her.
Years later. This was years later.
Did she remember that?
No, I didn't even bring it up.
Okay. I was going to say.
I was so embarrassed because, you know, I related so much to the whole Real World cast, and I loved Real World
mm-hmm.
at the time that I thought, oh. You know, you just think that you know them.
Well, yeah, 100%. Hello. If I could be on any reality show, I would definitely be on Survivor. I think that's the most, for me personally, I feel like that is the most hardcore of all
I would do Amazing Race or Big Brother.
That's not that hardcore.
I would definitely do Survivor too. That's actually my number one choice too.
I'm not saying that's the wrong choice.
No, I just don't think, listen to me. I'm thinking practical here. I like to collect the miles.
Oh,
right?
I don't think they're inputting your frequent flyer miles every single time.
Would,
I don't think there's time for that.
Yeah, no. I would make sure that my miles are inputted. Are you kidding?
Do you know? I don't think that's happening.
Well, I bet you it will.
Yeah, so you're only going to get miles on Malaysian Air.
I don't care what airlines. They're connected.
Singapore,
They're all connected to other airlines.
Kuwait Air. Who knows?
Have you ever heard of Sky Alliance, Star Alliance? They connect somehow. There's always an American.
Hey, wait. All right. Let's get Tom Lank on the phone. So Tom Lank.
Hi, Tom.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm remote recording because I'm an a-hole, and I forgot that today's not Wednesday because we had a holiday this week, and just my brain is like walking around today thinking it's Wednesday.
Yeah, well, I was cussing you out earlier.
It's okay. We're gonna get you a day planner.
Oh no, and yeah. I love that I was driving and I'm like, oh, he's so mad at me right now. He's probably cursing my name.
Well, I told Steven, I go, this might be an episode of My Favorite Murder.
I did start to get
nervous. I was like, I hope he's okay. Just for our listeners, Tom and I have known each other, I guess, since we did Annie, right?
Yes. I think that's when I first met you, was in the basement of a Mexican food restaurant.
Right.
That's
and then right. I met you prior to that when because you were dating one of the cast members of a show that I was doing called Corpus Christi.
Yes, which was Scott Allgaier, which has brought me to both of you.
Yeah. That's right. So, yeah, Tom and I were doing crazy drunken theater in the basement of a Mexican restaurant because that's normal. There was a tiny little stage called Casita del Campo in the heart of Silver Lake, California. And this is actually where Worst Ever started as a live show.
Yes.
With Tom.
Yes.
Very first live show. So this is so fun to have you back and have it full circle. But for people that don't understand what like real gritty theater is, it looks nice from the outside, like when you're doing it and you have, you know, your margarita buzz on and everything is like, you know, we're just putting on a show. But that basement theater was probably a complete fire hazard.
100%.
Still is, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Well, they had to do a remodel because it flooded.
Oh, no.
Oh.
You can only imagine. There were two bathrooms in the back, one of which did not have a door handle, still didn't, like 7-8 years later. And remember when we were doing Annie, which was a farce on the musical Annie, we would all go eat Mexican and then have some drinks and then come down to start our show slightly sloshed. And then, you know, someone would have to go use the bathroom and there was no... There was no door handle. It was just an open wound, like a gaping hole. So people would stuff toilet paper in there for privacy. It stunk. And then the air freshener was some kind of old Jordache cologne.
I love Jordache.
Jordache spray. And like, if you wanted people to know to like not walk in on you, you had to sort of keep singing aloud to yourself, which also sort of covered up any noises you might be making.
Yes. You're like doing vocal exercises?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, vocal warm-up while you're making a toozy.
And then just spraying the hell out of Jordache, which is, like, worse than actually just, you know,
all right, this
normal
is
bathroom.
Not going where I want. Not only that, but the booth was, like, the wires were, like, mouse-eaten, taped wires. It was, like...
Everything was jimmied together with electrical power strips and, you know, extension cords.
The lighting, like, it was, like, tinfoil to make, like...
Yes. It was glamorous, everyone. It was glamorous.
But hit shows came out of that, let me tell you.
Yeah, and...
And you're not allowed to bring food down in the basement because the rats can smell it from, like, a mile away.
That's correct.
So, like, you're not... You can bring drinks, but no food. And you think to yourself, gosh, if the plague comes back, we are the prime targets.
Yeah, completely. Completely. Well, our listeners would probably know you best from... The TV show you were on in the 90s and 2000s, I guess it was both, right? It's on the cusp.
I was just on it in the 2000s.
You were on the later eps.
Yes. The show was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which just had its 20th anniversary.
I can't believe
it. And people were like, congrats, it's so amazing. I'm like, oh, don't drag me into this. My 20th anniversary isn't for 5 or 6 more years.
Do you do like the Comic-Con stuff with Buffy?
Occasionally, I'm going to go do one in Australia, in a month, but I kind of do one like, no one really cares anymore about me, so that's fine. So I do one like once every 2 years or something now.
But you get to go to Australia, that's exciting.
Yeah, but free trip to Australia, who doesn't want that?
Hell yeah, man. It's gorgeous there.
But yeah, the show, it's so interesting. They just had like their big EW cover and everyone was like, why aren't you in the picture in the magazine, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, look, I was not there at the beginning and I was a supporting character. So what do you want? My feelings aren't hurt. So yours should not be either.
You need to pay a publicist a lot of money for something like that. Probably.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but a lot of times with those kind of characters, you never know how many episodes it's going to turn into. I'm sure I don't know if they wrote
it's
a huge arc in the beginning or if it was like, oh, this might turn into more or.
It was the only time I don't even know if they do this anymore where it was like a guaranteed 10 episodes.
Oh, right.
That they had to use as minimum. And then they just kept writing me, and the other guys into it until.
But you've worked
died.
With Joss several times since, right?
I feel lucky that, you know, normally you think, oh gosh, well, that was fun. I'll never see them again. But it's been cool that he has thought of me for various parts over the years. I did Cabin in the Woods with him.
Right.
and Drew Greenberg, Drew Goddard, Drew Greenberg's another writer friend from Buffy. And I did Much Ado About Nothing with Joss. And this past year I did their, Joss's Save the Vote video, which was very popular.
Yeah, I saw that. That was great.
Clearly it didn't work. It
did not work.
It's another podcast. But yeah, so I've I feel very hashtag blessed to get to actually work with someone, you know, more than once. Cause it just seems like normally, unless you're Jennifer Lawrence and David O. Russell, you don't get to, you know, do repeat visits with the same director.
It's true. I got very lucky with, you know, Gary Marshall in that manner. And
oh my God. Yes. You totally had that experience.
Yeah. May he rest in peace. But I have so many funny memories of working with him. And now, you know, you look back and he's such a legend. And in fact, last night after the Hollywood Darlings premiere and stuff and Joey show, Pretty Woman was on, and I can't ever see a Gary movie. I don't care what, if it's in the beginning, the middle, somewhere towards the end, I have to keep it on and I have to watch it through. It's like, it's just a thing. I feel like all of his movies they're just so close to my heart. Anyway.
Well, that, like, talk about a man who really made things with his heart just everything he did had so much heart in it. Even if it was funny, it always had like a message or something, you know, touching to it. So
yeah.
God bless him.
I know. He put me in a movie called New Year's Eve, which I'll tell a quick worst story from that, and then I want to get more into you. But he calls me up and he's like, "Hey, I got a part. We'll give it a shot. Can you come to New York? You can get a ticket. You got a place to stay." Because they had to hire everyone out of New York, so they weren't going to pay for anyone's travel or anything. But, you know, it's like, I'm like, it's scary, and I want to do it, and I want to be there for them. I'll go. So I get on this, like, red eye to New York. I land at, like, 5 in the morning, and my call is, like, 7. So it's one of those where you're, like, dropping a bag off and then taking the train all the way to BF God knows where. And I get to set, and they're like, "Oh, I don't even know what I'm doing." It's, you know, because with Gary, you never really know until you get there. And he's like, "No problem. We'll put you in a thing. You'll be great." I go into my, like, box of a trailer, and there hanging is a pair of black pants and a mustard colored jacket. When I say mustard, like Colonel. The ugliest jacket I have ever seen in my life. I'm supposed to be a bartender. Like, can't be like a cute one and just like a white, like fitted white shirt. I put this thing on and the costume assistant comes in and is like, "Oh yeah, that's great." And I'm like, "No, no, no, it's not great. It's horrible." And it's boxy. It's horrible. I say to Gary, "Maybe not the jacket." And he's like, "Ah, you wear the jacket. Who cares? Okay, you're standing over here." And I'm like, "God damn it, I'm going to be forever immortalized in this mustard-colored jacket. It's the worst."
Now that you mention the mustard jacket, I feel like that was the first thing I texted you after I saw it, because I went and saw a screening of it. And not just mustard, like, it was baby diarrhea mustard.
And, you know, it's one of those things as an actor, you're obviously not the lead. You're there to say a couple of lines and, you know, move on with your day. I mean, you're not going to make a stink over a mustard-colored jacket because really there is no recourse. Yet, you know, my fauché is forever immortalized in a mustard. And I had to say something ridiculous like, "More cranberry and DiSerrano, sir," or something like that, where DiSerrono was paying, like, millions of dollars to have their name.
Have you ever tasted DiSerrano?
I have. It's like an amaretto.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they were paying millions of dollars, yet no one could fit my jacket. So I made the movie. It was the $10 million word, yet, you know, I was schlepping myself back up to, like, you know, Washington Heights to go lay on a floor.
Oh, God damn it.
This is what we do.
Things we do, just like, okay, well, does anyone just like, "Yeah, you can local hire me, but can someone throw me some bones on the side, please? Thanks."
Yeah, but are you complaining about the residuals that you got?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Well, no.
Well,
no.
Mustard it is.
Mustard it is.
Mustard is the only condiment for me.
Thank you, healthcare. So, Tom, I want to get into a little bit of your Lengths Looks for Less and how this happened and how you started this whole thing. It's like sweeping the Instagram nation.
By the way, it's genius.
It's so good.
Oh, thank you. I'm just celebrating my 1 year birthday of the Lengths Look for Less.
Wow.
And I thought, so it started out just as a joke last year when the Met Gala was happening. And I thought I would see how many I could do that week right afterwards. And then it just got picked up by all these news media outlets. So I thought, oh, I'll just keep doing it. And I thought I'd see if I could do it for a year and see what comes out of it.
Yeah.
And I'm just so shocked that people have liked it as much as I, because I honestly was not doing it for anyone other than myself.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who don't know what it is, it's, I basically make red carpet looks out of garbage and things from around my house.
But they're really genius. Like they're, you know, like the Sarah Jessica Pasta is one of my favorites. He does Sarah Jessica Parker and recreates her whole look, like whatever she's wearing. But her hair is a wig made from dried macaronis.
And well, that was a whole edible look. That was the shirt was made of tortillas and vanilla wafers.
Yes, and the cookie around your eye to make the black.
Yeah, crushed
eyeliner.
Oreo cookie.
How long does it take to put a look together?
You know, I don't really spend that long on them. The most I'll spend, if I really get carried away, is an hour. But for me, the whole thing is about low stakes, just, you know, low work. You know, less work and more work.
Right.
You know, work smarter, not harder. That whole thing. So that's what I'm trying to put out sort of subliminally, is that, you know, like we, especially things on Instagram, people are trying to live this curated lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I just, my whole thing is the antithesis to that. And it's just like, just put it out. Just put it up there. It doesn't have to be perfect. And that's what I love about it. And I love that, you know, you have to kind of come up with something funny within the limitations of Instagram.
Right.
So you have a 1 minute of video. How can I make funny? So what for me, really, it's been a great tool for me to force myself to be creative, you know, on a daily basis.
That's awesome.
And I honestly still enjoy doing it. I hit a wall last week where I was like, I don't want to pick up the glue gun ever again.
Things not everybody says to themselves.
But, you know, then sometimes you have to just sort of like craft through the pain and find your way back to it, which I did.
But we were saying earlier that you're a crafty person. Like, it seems to come naturally.
You've always been very
crafty. That's the thing. I've been doing this kind of thing since high school. Like, I've been making costumes with hot glue guns since I had to costume my whole marching band in a Charlie Brown Christmas-themed outfits. Long story short, maybe this is a good story for Worst Punished. This is like the Christmas episode, but like I took months preparing because we were this sad marching band up in Camarillo, California, and we had the big Christmas parade that everyone would come compete in, but we always lost because we were terrible and we only had 40 people in our band. So I thought, oh, we can win the costume theme competition. And so I made Charlie Brown shirts for the whole band, and the drill team was all marching Lucy's, and the tall flags were Woodstock birds.
Oh, wow.
And I had just done Your Good Man Charlie Brown, so I had the doghouse, so we put it on wheels, and we rolled it down the street. I was Snoopy because I was a drum major, and I had a large bone instead of a baton. I went all out, and we get there, and it's going to be amazing. And we put our costumes on. Thunder, lightning,
no,
worst flood of the 90s starts pouring down. And just picture me in a sad, wet Snoopy costume, crying in the middle of the street as all the feathers on the yellow birds start to flop down, and all the paint from the doghouse I just painted just started running, and I was crying, and I was just screaming, "We're marching! We're marching!" And they had to drag me away, throw me on the school bus. It was a truly Charlie Brown ending to a Charlie Brown Christmas. Anyway, that is when I really got to know my glue gun on an intimate level.
Yes. Well, have you had any, because obviously, you know, you're recreating looks from celebrities and from celebrity designers. Have you had any backlash, or have people been pretty like supportive about what you're doing?
Occasionally people are like, you know, it's mostly like homophobic things that I get are the comments, which is like, okay, whatever, who cares? But shockingly, the celebrity women that I've been spoofing, they are really into it.
And I love it.
Our old pal, Kristen Bell,
yeah,
recently just reposted one of my things. I guess she just saw the one I had done of her.
Oh
and,
my God,
and she
great.
Was like, she was, she said she just discovered the, all my stuff and then was secretly hoping that I would do one of hers, which I did, from her at the Golden Globes, and she liked it. So anyway, I think most ladies get what I'm doing. I'm not really making fun of them.
No.
I'm making fun of fashion and beauty standards and the amount of effort that goes in, a team of people that goes into making the evening happen, from the stylist to the designer to the makeup artist, the hair people. Like,
I always say, it takes a village, man. Because if you see me like on a daily basis when I'm just like in mom gear, I mean, you know, I'm in my like ripped 501s. I'm currently wearing a shirt that hasn't, I think I've worn it 3 times, hasn't been washed, from H&M like 7 years ago. Definitely shrunk, not really the right proportion anymore. Hair is 3 days old, and I only have makeup on because I had an audition this morning. But I look somewhat like a different person when I am done professionally. I mean, I suddenly have contours in my face I never knew I had. I have way bigger eyes because the eyelashes are just, which by the way, there was a certain celebrity, I can't tell you who it is, but the last makeup artist I used, she's wonderful. And she was like, "Ooh, I have some extra lashes from so-and-so." And I was like, "Wait, you're going to put so-and-so's lashes on my face right now?
Why can't you say who it is?"
Because I don't know if that she would like that. Anyway, this is an A-lister.
Yeah, but who cares?
A-lister. I care.
You think she wants her eyelashes back?
Not anymore. But I am saving them.
Okay, but
they are
so
in a fancy, fancy box.
Who is it?
And I was like, I'm getting the sloppy seconds right now. This is exciting.
Oh my God, you got Aniston.
Sloppy seconds.
Aniston lashes. I know it. It's Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston's lashes?
No, she's not on Shades of Blue, but nice try.
You got J-Lo's?
So Tom.
Wow. I love Lopez.
Do you remember when I used to have all of Eva Longoria's sloppy second bikinis?
Wait,
my friend.
What?
You don't remember?
No.
My friend was Eva's
no.
assistant for years, and they would have, because I guess she wore lots of bikinis. I don't know.
That's
bikini
gross.
Companies. No, she never wore them.
Oh, okay.
She never wore them.
Oh,
the bikini
clear.
Companies and bathing suit companies would send Eva a lot of stuff, and some stuff I guess she liked, and some she was like, no, thank you. That's not for me. So my friend used to be like, hey, she one day came over and was like, hey, do you need some bikinis? And just gave me a box of bikinis. And I was like, I don't really, but, you know, I have a hot tub. And a lot of times women come over and they're like, God, that hot tub looks really nice right now after 2 glasses of rosé. And I'm like, would you like to get in? I have a fresh sloppy second for you. Never been born. And one time, I think it was Kara and Whitney and some of our friends from theater. Everyone was putting on a sloppy second Eva Longoria, and we did a parade around the hot tub. So, you know, those came in really very handy.
Tom, you have to do Christine. You have to do one of Christine, please.
I know. We thought.
Oh, of course. Yes. Well, and I need to do something incorporating you and the baby.
Yes.
We really want to do baby free from my friend's house.
Baby free from my friend's house.
Love it.
Definitely. I know. Wait, there's this really funny amazing Jerry Hall picture that I had sent Tom where she's just like breastfeeding a baby and she's kind of has this look like, fuck you.
So,
and she's totally decked. And I was like, Tom, do you think you might want to play Jerry Hall? Get the baby from my house. She's pretty wiggly now, though, you know. We'd have to figure it out.
So you've been doing, Tom, you've been doing these red carpets, right? And you're sort of like putting them out sort of rapidly, no?
Yeah, on the fly, right?
I had a little thing with E! For their red carpet season where I was live looking there. I had to watch their red carpet and then make as many outfits as I could during the red carpet coverage.
So what do you I had Michaels and buy like a supply?
Well, the thing is, like, my challenge to myself is to use things that would be considered household items and items you wouldn't necessarily craft with. So I mostly, like, I went, because I needed to have some, a stock of things in every color. So I went to Ross and Marshall's, and I bought yoga mats and bubble wrap. I went to the hardware store. I did go to a party store and get, like, tablecloths in different colors. But I really try to keep to things that are things you would find around the house.
It's so good. It's
and
so smart.
I'm still, I, and I honestly don't buy things any, I just, now that I have sort of like a little kit of supplies, I don't purchase anything. People are like, how, you must have crazy, all the stuff all over your right. house. No, I have 8 bins. I've been very organized about it. I've got 8 bins. Ready to go. It's all in Roy G. Biv rainbow color order.
You got to be kidding.
Oh, I'm not kidding. I got real anal about it. Because otherwise, it could become crazy. Because when I'm making the outfits, it gets crazy. Like right now, there was like marshmallows all over my floor this morning from a Gucci look I was spoofing. And I had it was like yelling at the dog, don't eat the marshmallows. I don't know if dogs can eat marshmallows. Don't eat it. Don't eat it.
Oh, my God. So when you do
like the e-red carpet, like what is the time frame that you have to turn the look around?
So there's, we had to make them during the 2-hour red carpet coverage.
I
had some people helping me that day. So, or the days we did it. So we would make like 4 or 5 outfits in that 2 hours. The main problem was that like at the Oscars, people didn't show up till really late. Right. So there was not a lot of options for us. We were kind of sitting around waiting. But then I would do a couple after the fact as well.
Wow, that's a lot.
But it was weird because normally, you know, I just do it by myself, make it, take the photo by myself. So it was weird having help and trying to boss people around. I felt like a real designer sort of going around from station to station. It was very Project Runway. Tim Gunn.
You were getting like Project all Runway. Your Tim Gunn yeah. on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I also realized that, oh, I actually like the figuring it out. That's the thing that I to me, it's like when people do crossword puzzles, this is what I do. I like to kind of figure out what I see mm-hmm. when I look at it mm-hmm. and then what I would make it out of and how I'll get it to stay on my body.
And are you like in one bodysuit the whole time and just like throwing things on one after the other?
That one, it was a lot of just like getting into my underwear and throwing things on. I bought a few like, not girdles, but they're like a form fitting. It looks like a girdle and you sort of like snap it up the back. It's like a bodice. You wear it underneath.
Like a waist trainer.
Like a waist trainer thing that, yeah, like a waist shaper thingy. And so I bought a few of those and we would hot glue things to them so that I could have some way to keep it on my, because I never make, there's no back to any of these outfits.
Right.
It's always just
right.
the
no,
front.
I was watching the Judith Light one and the dog, something happened with the dog and you turned around and it's like,
oh yeah,
you're like, what the fuck?
So funny. I love when you're on the street and people just walk by and they're like, what the what's that guy doing?
I know. I'm surprised more people haven't. I finally met a neighbor who's a follower of mine, and she's like, I can't believe I haven't. She lives across the street from me, and she's never seen me on my front porch in my underwear taking pictures of myself, which I find shocking.
In fact, especially being your neighbor, that's, I mean, really strange sort of work hazard, occupational hazard to have.
There's a really hot guy that lives across the street from me, and he's a reality show casting director.
He's not with Big Brother, is he?
Oh God.
I hate him if he is.
Maybe.
Oh, come on.
He does. I think he's doing the new season of Drag Race, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
But we've been Facebook friends for years, and he just never says hello. I always try to get his attention and be like, hi. And he just has no idea.
In my underwear.
And finally, of all the times, I'm like in a crazy outfit, dressed up as Posh Spice with balloons on my boobies.
Oh, I love it.
And that's the day he decides to say hello to me.
Stop.
And acknowledge me. And I'm like, no, we're not. And I was videotaping myself. And so there's now, I won't show anyone, but there's a record of me awkwardly saying hello to him
oh my
and
God.
trying to flirt with him, but dressed in garbage.
as Victoria Beckham.
Oh, Tom, it's too good. Well, I know there was a specific audition story we had talked about. I want you to tell that before our time's up, because it's, you know, what we do as performers is, and I talked about this in our live show, and we've definitely talked a little bit about this in some of the other podcasts, but what we do as a performer is such a weird job. We don't just go in and clock in and have, you know, sort of awkward social interaction with our coworkers. We're constantly putting ourselves out there and trying to be different people and, you know, trying to look the part and just do whatever is on the page and like make it seem authentic. And sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. And then you're just stuck with egg on your face, you know, driving yourself home, beating yourself up for all the things you could have done in those moments. But I think your audition was for The Closer.
So, yes, I had an audition for The Closer, and I'd auditioned for The Closer a few times before, so I knew how it worked.
This is the Kira Sedgwick show.
The Kira Sedgwick show, where she's like from the South, and she's like closing, she's like making the crimes be solved, and she's shutting it down and making it happen.
Right.
And the casting director, Bruce Newberg, sort of middle-aged gay man, often can be seen drinking a Diet Coke. Always drinking a Diet Coke. Anyway, so I knew how it worked, which was you go and you, like, first you go up, you get to the lot, you go upstairs, you go to the waiting room, you sign in, then you go down a hallway and you wait there, and then they take you down another hall and you wait in a chair outside the room that you're about to go in, and you'll be sort of there with one or two people that are about to go in.
Is this Paramount?
This is at the one across the street from Paramount. Raleigh.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I knew the drill, and the scene that I had was a scene where I had to cry in the middle of it. And I'm not great at making myself cry. So I went to Erewhon Market and I got the menthol stick. And, when you're on a movie or TV show, they'll blow through the stick plastic thingy and blow it in your eyes and makes your eyes water.
Yeah,
so
is that what the stick is made for? Is it made for something else and they've just repurposed?
Oh, no, it's literally, I have one at my house. It's called the Olbus menthol stick. It's a nasal inhaler, so you sniff it when you have a cold to clear your sinuses.
Right. Or make yourself
Yeah.
Got it.
Exactly. So I did a dry run of it, or a wet run of it, I should say, in my car, and I wiped the stick under my eyes. And then I started the scene, and by the time I got to the cry part, I started crying.
Right.
So I timed it. So I'm like, great, it worked.
Are you in a stopwatch, or you're kind of like, all right, it was, you know, 3:42, I'm crying about 3:45.
Yeah, it just worked in the right spot.
Okay,
so
got it.
I go up, and I know, okay, so I just have to wipe my eyes right before I go in. So I go through all the hallways. I wait at each station. I wait at the final station. The person before me goes in. I hear them wrapping up. So I take the menthol stick I've been hiding in my hand, and I wipe it under each eye. And then I leave it. I leave the stick there on the floor. The guy comes out, and they usher me in. And so I'm like, great, great.
Clock is ticking.
And now, yeah. I'm excited. It's going to work. Perfect. So I go to start the scene, and normally you just like, they say hi, there's some general small talk, and then you start the scene. So I'm about to go. I'm just ready to go. And all of a sudden the director's like, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, wait, what? Why are you talking to me? And he's like, hi, I'm Jim. He sticks out his hand. Now, what you should know is, first rule of casting, never shake their hand. They don't want to touch you. So many germs. It's pilot season. We're not shaking hands. There's literally signs in casting offices that say, don't shake my hand.
Right.
Right.
We don't want your germs.
So we never think about shaking their hands.
Only if
asked. I would never.
Which is very
Only if asked. And they never ask.
Right.
So of all the times to stick one's hand out, the director puts out his hand. And now I'm thinking, oh my God, I've been holding a stick of menthol with my right hand, and I'm about to shake his hand. And then he's going to have menthol on his hand, and then he's going to be like, why did I smell menthol on that guy? Like, so
oh,
like,
no.
So I'm in slow motion sticking out my hand, knowing I'm going to lather him in menthol. So that's the first thing. Okay, so I'm already a little bit on edge. I start the scene.
Did you shake his hand, or did you just like kind of?
Oh yeah, I shook it. Oh,
okay.
I shook it.
Okay, great.
So he's now infected. He's got menthol. Yeah, he's got it on his hand. So if he touches his face, he will then now smell menthol.
And know your secret.
Now, and know my secret. So I start the scene. I get to it. I start crying. And it's like, it's pouring. Like it's like a snotty cry. I'm crying. So I finished the scene. And Bruce Newberg is holding his, by the way, he's doing a full performance. Giving me full Kira Sedgwick realness. He's like going all out, performing doing a Southern accent.
So Bruce is reading with you.
Yes.
Not
he's
reading.
Giving, performing. He's performing.
Got it.
And he's clutching a Diet Coke and his purse the whole time, just to paint a picture.
Uh-huh.
So then I'm like, great, scene two, let's go. The director says, hey, why don't we try that scene again? And I'm like, oh God.
Oh no.
Oh God, no. He's like, and this time do it without any, he's like, less emotion. And I'm like, okay. But I can't stop the menthol is now kicking into higher gear, and my eyes are on fire at this point. And so then I start the scene again, and now it's like so much snot and like slime, like just drool. It's so much. My eyes are burning. I want to just like rip them out. It's so painful.
Oh God.
And then it like clears up. So by the time I get to the crying again, just dry. Dry as a well. So I ruined it, and I finished the scene. And Bruce Newberg hands me a tissue and says, it's a really emotional scene, isn't it? Which is like not, it's not like a compliment, and it's not it's just like stating what it was. It's like, no, it's not even a comment on my performance. It's just a description of what the scene is on the paper.
Right.
So I'm just like, oh my God, I'm literally a crazy person right now.
Well, and
I
also
am crazy.
You want to, like, as an actor, you sort of want to work through the tears. You know, you want to try to hold them back, and it's impossible at this point, right?
Oh, yeah, because you've almost blinded yourself,
right?
When you see SpongeBob SquarePants crying on an episode of SpongeBob, right. And like the tears are projectile from his body. That's what I was doing. That's what I looked like.
That's hilarious.
And it was not. It was an ugly cry, and it was not. It was like definitely way past what was required of this scene.
Did you just book the job?
Oh my God, no. God, no. Oh God, no.
Like, thank you, Tom.
I ran out of there so fast, I have no idea what they said when I left.
But here's the funny thing, and like now in retrospect, you know, you think about it. If you had booked the job, it's almost worse because then you've got to be on set doing the master, doing your coverage, doing all these different shots of that scene and replicating that.
What were you going to do if you were working on this?
He would have gone blind with the mask.
Well, you know what? I years later, I was on a show about witches, and I had just out of the nowhere, they killed me off, and I had a death scene of some like magical blue penis tail monster poked me. Like
standard.
Scrambled my brains or something. I don't know. So I was like, so what am I actually dying of? And they're like, magic. I'm like, okay, got it. So I was doing it. I did a few takes, just like, here's me trying to cry. And then I told the woman on like the fourth take to come and blow the shit in my eyes.
Yeah.
And she did. And I like turned it. I was crying. It was beautiful. Everyone was deeply moved. So years later, I've now figured it out, which is like, save it for your close-up at the end.
Got it.
And I will say that they did not use that take. They used the dry one. And most of the coverage was on the pretty woman I was acting opposite. Even though she was not dying, I was the one dying. And it was a real bad show, so they can suck it.
Real quick, because I have to, I just love this story. Real quick, you can make it squeak. Can you tell everyone about the time you wrote to the Academy? And
oh my God.
And yeah, go ahead.
You know what okay, I'm talking so about. Basically, yes. Basically, I had had a bad audition to play a plate of nachos. That's right, an anthropomorphic plate of nachos. And it kind of sent me into like a tailspin of like, what am I doing with my life? And I had done the movie Argo, and they had just won a Screen Actors Guild Award for Best Cast. And so I just like was so irate about my career in general that I wrote the SAG Awards an email and was like, hey, hey, I'm a character actor. I just auditioned to play a plate of nachos. And, but, you know, I was really hoping that I would get my SAG Award since I was in the cast. Like, do I get an award or do I, like, what do I get? Because since I wasn't there at the ceremony, they didn't invite me because I'm just the supporting character. Does everyone in the movie get a trophy? How does it work?
When you say supporting character, can you just go a little bit in detail of like how much of a character you are in this?
Oh, I had I had a whole scene. Of course, there's like two lines left of it. But I had a scene opposite. Oh, I had a walk and talk with Ben Affleck. It was very attractive. I was very into him. He's very friendly too. Also, one time I swam secretly in him and Jennifer Gardner's pool in Brentwood when they weren't home, and it felt like I was swimming in a pool filled with angel tears. So soft. Wow, so soft. That's another story. Real? Anyway, yeah, my friend, we had a party at their house while they were out of town. Anyway, I think it was a saline pool, probably. Anyway, so I sent that email to the SAG Awards. The next day, I got an email back. And the SAG Awards said, like, hey, sorry to tell you, you don't get a trophy, but everyone in the movie does get a certificate. And you can put it on your fake fireplace in a fancy frame, which will hopefully make you feel better as you nacho your way to the top. Love. Love the SAG Awards. And I was howling with laughter that someone like took my crazy and like raised it two notches and sent crazy back.
Nacho.
And actually,
that's right,
to nacho my way to the top. And I do, in fact, have my certificate framed in a fancy frame here on the wall.
Could you please take a picture of that? And can I share it
on our
yes. Instagram? I would love to see. That is a great story. And actually, a worst ever audition that kind of comes with a happy, cheesy ending. Ha ha, get it?
Ew, yes.
All right, so how do we find you on Instagram?
You just type in my name, which is at Tommy Lenk, LENK.
And that's where you can find all of Tom's Lenk's looks for less as well.
And on Twitter, same thing?
Oh, no one's using Twitter anymore.
Okay.
Stop. Okay.
Tom, you're such a delight. Thank you so much for letting us call in and get to rankle you about some of your worst
ever
stories.
Thanks for being late, Tom.
Thanks for not showing up, Tom. I owe you like a free babysitting session when babysat.
What do
I
get out of it?
I trust you with that. But,
I was the one that was pissed off more than she was because I was like, what do you
mean? Okay, she gets babysitting. You get like a handy J or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
That's sweet. Nice.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you to Tom Lenk. Thank you to Stephen Ray Morris, as always, and my co-host, Alaa Khaled. You can find us at Worst Ever Podcast on social. Stephen Ray Morris is at Stephen Ray Morris on social. Do you want to say yours?
Yeah, I'm at Alec Led still. Get over
okay,
it.
Okay, well, you got to change the name.
I'm going to change it at some point. I just don't want to ride my brother's coattails. DJ Khaled.
Yeah,
follow him
we'll
too.
Talk about that next week. I am Christine Lakin at Yo Lakin. And as always, we hope you have a great week or maybe a worse week. Either way, tell us about it at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. Bye. Bye.
Love you guys.
Love
bye.
You, Tom. Bye.
Thank you.